Hello. I'm Josh, and I'm conducting this interview on my Nana, Sharon. So what year were you born?
I was born in 1953.
So. Yeah.
Oh, in a small town in the Upper Peninsula called Ishpeming.
Did you have, like, siblings and family members? Obviously,
yes.
You had family members, but...
Yes, I am the oldest of four children. I have one brother, and I had two sisters.
And what
one sister passed away about 20 years ago.
What do you remember, like, from your childhood, like, about, like, small things, like, that you could tell about your siblings and, like, your little life, like, when you were young?
Well, being born in a small town is a whole lot different than Southeast Michigan. I really loved living in the Upper Peninsula. I loved living in a small town. But we had a tragedy in our life when my father died. I was only 9 years old, and my mother remarried, and we moved downstate to Livonia, where my stepfather was a teacher. And it was really tough for me. But while in Ishpeming, it was things were pretty good. I don't remember a lot of significant events, but I do remember being able to go to school by myself and walk across town at 5 years old, and you surely don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's, now it's like 15-year-olds, barely.
Yeah, things were a lot simpler, safer, quieter back then.
What about, like, your school years, like, what were elementary school and middle, how was school for you back in the 50s and 60s?
Well, in the 50s, I do remember in elementary school, we would have air raid drills, and what we would have to do is the bell would ring like a siren sound, and we would all have to immediately go out into the hallway, line up the halls. We have to duck down, cover our heads, and then just wait until the bell sounded again, and then we would go back to our room. The purpose of this was in case there were any attacks from the air, because there was so much going on in the world. Of course, I did not understand at the time what was going on, but we definitely had to do the air raid drills.
Do you remember how it made you feel? Like, how having to do those drills made you feel? Like, were you scared? Or
sure. Yeah, it is scary because, you know, you hear these sounds and then you got to hurry up and rush out. It's almost like a little bit scarier than when you hear a fire drill. Now, fire drill as a teenager isn't the same as a fire drill when you're a kid.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
What about, like, big things that were happening? Do you, like, obviously you said something about the air raid drills, but do you remember, like, what big stuff was going on at the time? Like, Cold War? I don't know.
Right. No, I really don't, because that wasn't just something a little kid would know. I would say probably the first significant event that I recall happening in the country was the assassination of President Kennedy. And I was in the third grade at that time, and I remember the announcement was made over the school system, and it's like everybody who was alive during that day remember where they were when they heard that he was assassinated. it was a terrible tragedy for our country. And even though I was very young, I realized how significant that was and how it was going to somehow impact our country. That was a really scary, very sad time.
Do you remember, like, what was, I mean, maybe not exactly what was going through your head, but, like, how was the, like, the say you were to say the tension in the air, how was it, like, how did it make everyone feel different?
Well, I think as the announcement came over the speaker, it's like there was just silence. And I don't really think people really knew what to do, but there's crying, of course, because there's older people that realize. And if I remember correctly, Ebert went home from school early that day. And I remember walking down the stairs of school, and because I lived so close, I just walked home. I don't remember anything else about that event except what I saw on television. And I do remember that shortly after that they caught one of the suspects, and anyway, there was a shooting right on the news that everybody witnessed, and it was a real scary thing because it wasn't expected. So, anyway.
So what about, like, the Vietnam War? Do you remember much from that?
The Vietnam War was going on for a lot of my middle school and high school years. And as I got older, I recall a lot of peaceful demonstrations going on at the local colleges, like Schoolcraft College. I remember demonstrations going on there. I remember...
What kind of demonstrations?
So what people would do is they would be all out in the mallways or out in the common areas, and there would usually be speakers, and what they were trying to do was rally the students to stand up against the war, because our generation or my generation didn't want the war, even though people our age were actually being drafted. And I suppose that would be another significant thing of that time period, is people my age or a little bit older were being drafted into the war.
Did you?
And that meant they didn't have a choice. If they got called, they had to go.
Did you know anyone personally that was drafted?
I don't know anyone personally that comes to mind. I know of friends, brothers, and I know of people now that I know were in the war. I feel much differently about it now than I did then. Then I was against it, and at the time, Papa, who was my boyfriend, he had a draft number, and our concern was that he was going to be drafted, because we were in high school, and as soon as you turn 18, you have to register for the draft. You were given a number, his was 300 and something, and if your number gets called, then you get drafted. So that was always on our mind. But then we realized that the number was a little bit too high and he wouldn't get drafted, so we were really thankful for that. But that was something that everybody that age lived with, and I think we were just young enough to not be concerned with being drafted.
So what, like, I'm going to ask Papa because I know he's right there. Papa, how did you feel about it, about being having the chance of being drafted into the war?
Okay, I'm going to repeat the question. Josh wants to know how you felt about the draft and being the possibility of going to war.
Well, I wasn't real excited about getting drafted because I had my eyes on Nana and we had our plans, but I knew that no matter what, if I did get drafted, that I would go, reluctantly, but I would go. And then once I got my draft number, I found out that they wouldn't even get very close to drafting that many. They were drafting up to, it was by the day, so it was like 365 numbers you could get, one of 365. So I got a number in the 300. The government on TV said that they didn't think they were going to need to draft past 200 unless the war broke out really bad or something. So I never got drafted, which made me real happy, I guess. That's it.
Yeah, it was a war that most young Americans didn't support at all. And I now realize that we didn't treat the people who did get drafted very well when they came back, which is really very sad. Even if you don't like a war, it doesn't mean the people who went had a choice. And it's bad. Things have changed, though, and the views have changed. I'm glad that war is over. It really was a war that was not worth us being there, but it's now history.
If you could remember, what was probably, like, the scariest part during the war? Like, what was the scariest close call type of thing? Like, had you on the edge of your seat, don't know what's about to happen, scared, something, I don't know.
Well, I think the demonstrations that I mentioned, they started escalating and becoming more dangerous. There were different campuses around the country where there would be violence and rock throwing, and students were getting hurt, and that's where most of the demonstrations were going on, would be on the college campuses, and it was always against the war. There was music of the day. All the music, the popular music, would be also against the war. There would be songs against it. I think knowing that the violence was increasing, that to me was scary, and just not knowing how bad it would get. I think Kent State, there's a university called Kent State, and there was a lot of violence there. I don't remember now what state it was, but there was a lot of violence, and it wasn't a pretty sight.
So if we were to kind of fast forward a little bit, you said something about the, you remember the Detroit riots?
I do, because we had moved down from the Upper Peninsula. To me, Detroit was like just a million, it could have been a million miles away. I had a big city, something I was not used to. The culture was much different in the lower Michigan than it was in the Upper Peninsula. And I remember hearing about the riots and then finding out how close Detroit was to Livonia. I really didn't know that until all of that started happening. And I do remember walking around in my subdivision and thinking that, oh my gosh, what if the riots get worse and they come closer out to the suburbs? There was so much violence, so much fires. I mean, there's so much fire in Detroit, so many buildings and homes, and it was just terrible, terrible. And it was scary. It was fearful. I was fearful. And I was, I'm trying to think exactly how old, about a middle teenager, mid-teen at the time.
So what about, do you remember, we talked about JFK. What about the moon landing? Do you remember that at all? That's what I'm curious about that one.
Oh, gosh, that was, I think it was in 68. Oh, my goodness, let me think. I remember, Lance Armstrong. on the moon. That was a very exciting thing. You look up in the sky and you think, oh my gosh, really, is that possible? But that was such an exciting thing back in the day, where nowadays, you know, it's just second nature to everybody.
Yeah,
but
it's just kind of like the moon. Yeah, I've been there, done that.
Exactly. So there were a lot of first things like that during my lifetime. There has been a whole lot of changing going on.
I believe it. All right, we're going to fast forward again. What about, like, around the 1970s? There was the oil embargo. What was that about?
Well, by the 1970s, well, Papa and I got married about a year after high school, and the oil embargo, I think that was in the early 70s, and what it was about is the country, I think it was Iran, was they were not shipping the oil to the U.S., probably some political thing going on. I didn't really know what the reason was. I wasn't too interested in politics or anything back then, so all I was interested in is, why can't I get my gas?
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening is all the gas stations were running out of gas, and there would be very, very long lines of cars waiting for gas at the gas station. And you would always be concerned if you were going to get gas and if you get it, you could get to work, because at that time I was working and I had to get gas. And that went on for a while. So I don't remember ever having such a bad experience with oil embargoes, but that's what happens. If the Middle East stops shipping, we don't get gas, and we are in big trouble.
Yeah, that's a very big key to today's world.
Sure.
What else? Was there, I know there was many other things going on in the 70s, but something that stuck out the most to you, something that you, if you were to think about it, it's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Well, I suppose the first thing that comes to mind, if I talk about the 70s, if it's high school, then that's the year I graduated in the 70s. Of course, the Vietnam War, I think of, the oil embargo, you know, we've already talked about those. I remember the Iran hostage crisis, where they took, a lot of our people as hostages, and they kept them for like a year. It was a pretty tense thing. I remember listening to the news every night, and there was a show called Nightline, and you know, every night I was listening to it to see what was going on. To think that other countries would take our people hostage was a frightening thing. Which also brings to mind airlines. Hijackings were an occurrence probably 70s, maybe even into the 80s, where someone would hijack a plane. They'd get on the plane, they would say, okay, we're not going to L.A., we're going to Saudi Arabia or whatever. And that happened enough to be concerned about it.
Did you ever get like a close call experience with that, or?
No, I did not personally, and I mean, at one time, anybody could go into the airport, go right up to the gate, no security, and, you know, it was real easy. Well, now things are so tight and strict that the likelihood of that happening would be pretty slim. But it was, again, something to be concerned about, you know, back in those days. You know, it sounds like I've talked about a lot of terrible things, but really those were also, you know, good decades as well. You know, a lot of growth in the U.S. We weren't fighting any other wars until the 80s, 90s. and that's when we started in the Middle East. But as far as the decades that you are talking about, they were still good years for our country, even though it felt like I talked about a lot of negative things.
Mm-hmm. Well, what could you remember, like, from any of these years, like, the most positive things you could think of, like, during the 50s and 60s and 70s? Obviously, besides graduating school and marrying Papa and this and that, but, like, besides that, like, what big happy things were going on?
When your mom was born and your aunt.
And what years were those?
They were, your mom was born in 76, your aunt was born in 79, so those were the happiest times. Of course, the saddest time was when your mom passed away.
Yeah.
You know that. But it was a happy time when she was born.
How was life like? You and Papa and you guys, like, always on the road? Did you settle down fast?
Yeah, we certainly, you know, we worked hard and we built a really good life. We stayed in Southeast Michigan. We were able to both have good jobs. I went back to school when I was in my 30s and graduated from college. And retired just a couple years ago. Now I have grandchildren. And of course, you all are the highlights of our lives.
Man.
I just
read this paper. Are you proud of me?
Oh, you betcha. Of course I am. Yep, you're a special guy, for sure.
Yeah, very special.
Yes, you are.
What about your social life? I know we were talking all about, like, these major events, but what was life like?
Well, what was life like? Well, I think when you have children.
No. I mean, your early years.
Oh.
I mean,
like what kind of trouble did I get into?
Yeah, anything. Anything you can think of.
Well, social life was, I suppose, very similar to teens nowadays, except we actually socialized. We did not have technology. We did not have cell phones. We did not have computers. We actually talked to each other. And I think it was, I mean, that's just how life was. You, of course, you went out with your friends. And or you had friends over, you went to friends' houses. During high school, my main focus was getting through school, and I always had to work during high school, so I didn't have a lot of social time to do things, but I did what any other teenager did. You know, we would go out to eat, go to the movies, hang out.
What was your favorite thing to do? Like, what was your favorite free time thing? You had the night off. You got to go do whatever you wanted. What was your go-to?
My favorite thing to do, because Papa and I were high school sweethearts. That was always my favorite thing to do.
Huh?
Spending time with Papa was my favorite thing to do. So we would just hang out. We'd go get something to eat. We'd go hang out at his house. We'd go motorcycle riding because he had a motorcycle. Actually, that was probably one of our very favorite things to do, was to go riding. Especially at night. We loved to go riding all night.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I remember when Papa had the motorcycle. That was Papa's motorcycle.
Yep. Well, he had one when he was a teenager also. And we certainly spent a lot of time riding.
Was there, like, spots you would go to, or was it just riding all night.
Yeah, so we like to go out on more like country roads and through parks and places where there wasn't a lot of traffic. The roads were just wide and open, and we really loved doing that. We loved going out riding all night and watching the sun come up and going back home.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a blast.
It was. It really was. And we had friends that rode also, so we would be with other people too sometimes.
Do you remember your friends' names? Your bestest of friends? And
sure. I have friends, Papa and I have friends that we've known since middle school.
Middle school.
We still actually see them.
Wow.
Still friends. So that's pretty exciting. And then I have one friend that I have known since I was a toddler in Ishpeming, and we still are in contact with each other.
That's crazy.
It is. I agree. But friends are, you know, you treat people right and you treat your friends good.
Sorry. Oh, stretch break. Hold on. I'm trying to think. What else was going on at the time? Anything that pops out to you that we haven't talked about? Let's see.
Well, things that are really important to me are my heritage.
Your heritage?
Sure. You know, nationality. Coming from the UP, that ethnicity was really important to us. And the culture was really important. So being Finnish has always been important, and many of the people in the Upper Peninsula are Finnish, so there's a lot of different cultural events and, oh gosh, just researching lineages is pretty cool. Find out where you came from and tracing ancestors back. That's all. I think that's a lot of fun.
So I know that you're a very religious Christian. Was that like always a thing? Was it in your family, or was it like a more kind of got into it by yourself with Papa or?
That's a good question. I went to church when I was a little kid. I had always believed in God. But it's different when you have a relationship with God. So that didn't happen until my 30s. And for me, I don't consider it religious. I consider it having a relationship with God, believing in Jesus Christ, and believing the Bible for what it says, and following the Bible. It is extremely important to me. And my faith has helped me get through a lot of struggles, a lot of heartache, and it gives you hope. You always have hope for the future.
You say you have faith. What gives you faith? What? I know God. You have faith in God, but like, what gives you faith?
It's what you believe in. Faith is believing in something you don't see, you don't touch it, but you believe it. You know, that's what faith is, and I believe, and I have faith in God. I can't touch him, but I know he is.
I gotcha. That makes sense. That makes sense to me.
Good.
What about your parents? Were they like, if you were to compare your parents to you now, or you when you were their age? Were they, like, super religious crackdowns like you guys are on us?
Were they super religious? Is that what you said?
Yeah, did they, like, crack down on you guys when you were young?
Well, sure, they cracked down on us. They were not religious, actually, at all. But things were a little bit different for me because my dad died when I was very young, and then I had a stepdad. So things were a little different, a little more challenging, I guess you could say.
So how would you say that, like, impacted your life?
Like, oh, well, it impacted my life hugely because not only was it a loss, however, we moved, far away from everything that I was familiar with, and things were so different for me in Livonia. So it really had a huge impact on my life.
How did it make you feel to have to move like that?
I did not like it one bit.
Not one bit.
Not one bit. No. And I fortunately was able to go back to the UP very frequently, like vacations and summer. So I was very grateful to be able to go back to stay with my grandparents. But I did not like living in Livonia.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
And it wasn't Livonia. It was just the whole, everything was just so different.
I would prefer up north compared to Livonia.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small town girl moving to the city. It was not easy.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think anything more I can ask you about.
Well, I hope this interview has caused you to think about your life and what you want to do going forward.
Sometimes, you don't realize, you don't think about it until it's over, but those little things impact. They're big old oomph.
Sure. Well, I hope you learned something about me that maybe you didn't know before.
I completely forgot that you had a stepdad.
Ah.
I completely forgot that. I was told that many years ago.
Yeah. But that's okay because to you, I had always, referred to him as, your grandfather, but, yeah, you just didn't realize it was a step-grandfather, but there was no reason to really do anything different.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah,
I understand.
But it did have a huge impact on me, negatively. But.
All right, well, I think I'm going to wrap up this interview. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Josh.
All right.